to start at the top of Yud-Bet Amud Aleph, four lines down. Hufa, we're going to deal with the case that we mentioned yesterday. Ra'utan Rasin Akar Mitziyah. Here's them running after the Mitziyah. Rabbi Yochanan Behu Shirat Akarim Umagiyan. That the qualification for the fact that his Chatzir can acquire on his behalf is only if he in potential could reach the item, and potentially could have caught up with the item. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah of Matana Heyach, what's the din when it comes to a Matana? So Kabla Minei Rabbi Abba Bar Kana. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, based on Rabbi Yirmiyah's distinction that we saw, accepted that by Matana that would not be the case. That even if he does not run after, he does not in potential have the ability to catch him, he still can be Koner, his Chatzir can be Koner. So boy, Rabbi asked the question, is there a Karnachi Bepetach Zeh? V'yasah Bepetach Chacher Mahu. So Rabbi asked, what happens if you throw a wallet through, or someone throws a wallet through your property, and it's going in one end and going out the other end? What's the din of this wallet? Avir Sheinu Sofola Nuach Kimunach Dami. Somebody that's airborne, that is not in the future, meaning that it will not land in your property. As long as it's airborne, it will not land in your property. It would land in the next property or in the Shut Rabim, or lo, or do we not, or we do not look at it that way. So now, if you have this, the item, what exactly transpired here? Rashi says that the person direct anaki behefkiro lecholakodem. He made it hefkir to the first person who took it. And then he throws it, and it goes through your property, and it lands, it would land in the subsequent property. Now, because it's ain't so v'lanuach, even though it's not going to land in your property, it's kimunach, so it's as if it landed in your property since it crossed through your airspace, or not, or low. I don't know, the Gemara doesn't mention over here, but we have this machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva and other issues, which is kluta k'mishahun chodomi, right? Whether something that's airborne is looked at as discrete points along a in motion, and therefore each point is an akira and an acha, or do we look at it as a single movement, and therefore the akira and an acha at the end? So maybe over here it's not as relevant, but it seems to me there would be a similar type of machlokas here, which is the Gemara's answer asking what's the status of the wallet while it's crossing through the property. Rosas, on the other hand, says the atab petach acher, when it went out the other end, says lo garsin va'apkere. The girsa here should not be that he made it hefker. The choshev le dat acheret makne uto. The might derive me matana. Seems here that it's a dat acheret makne uto, and therefore they're bringing a proof from matana. Supposed to Rashi, who says that he's girl the cholakodem, right? Then Tosa says the girsa should not be apkere, and it's not a case of hefker. Because if he says the e apkere, because there was hefker, im came he actually yasa anakimi ato. I have care, since his hand is have care, b'shat v'schia, like a dat acheret. At the time of v'schia, there is no dat acheret. So if there's no dat acheret, how's that helping you? You can't acquire your chater, cannot acquire on your behalf when there is no dat acheret. So now, Amar Lei, Rav Papa, the Rav.
So then what was he doing? If he wasn't being master, just having a catch? I mean,
no, he's giving it a gift to him.
So he had intent to transfer it to the guy.
Right, as he says he's going to give it to this person, or he's going to, this person should be machne. The question is, did he make a kinyan on it? So that was it. Amalei Rav Papa the Rova, Varmi Lav Rav Adav Ramat the Rova, Varmi Lav Ravina the Rova, Lav Hainu Masnitin. Isn't this our Mishnah? Rav Dan Ratzin Achar Mitziyah, Varmi Rav Yirmiyah Rav Yirmiyah Rav Yirmiyah Rav Yirmiyah Rav Yirmiyah Rav Yirmiyah Ubaya Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Matana, hey, v'kabla minei Rabbi Abba Barkana ben Matana, apu pisha ratzachem ben magian. So in our case where he doesn't reach them, when it's a case of Matana, we still say that he's able to acquire them. So where it says, I'm saying, mitzgalgel kalar, you're talking about mitzgalgel, right? Mitzgalgel means that it's rolling on the ground, shiny mitzgalgel, munach domi. Those are two different issues. We're talking about something that's airborne, right? That's in the air and flying through the air. You're asking from a Mishnah where something is moving along the ground. When something's moving around the ground, that's when you have Mitzgalgel, that's definitely Kimunach Dami. But when it's airborne, then we still have the question whether when it's airborne, does it have the same status as Mitzgalgel, or is it not, because it will never stop, or naturally will not stop in this property. Mitziyat Bino Ubito Aktanim. Mitziyat Avdov Shivchato Aknanim. The time that is minor children, his Evan and Shukhav Liknani, Mitziyat Ishto, Ariel Shalot, they belong to the father, husband, owner. Mitziyat Bino Bitoak Golim is the Mitziyat of his older children. We can see again, this may be redefined in the Gemara, but right now we'll just assume children over the age of Bar Mitzvah. Yeah, the Abdul Shukhato Ha'ivrim, right, is Eved Ivri and is Amma Ivriya. Mitziat Ishto Shigirsha. Mitziat, his wife who's divorced. Akopishno Tan Ktuba, or Yelush Lehen, even though he hasn't given her Ktuba yet, right, they all belong to themselves. They get to keep the item. So Amar Shmuel, Mipnei Ma Amru Mitziat Katan Aviv. Why is Mitziat a Katan for his father? It's an interesting idea that Shmuel says the psychology of this, that a child, when he picks up a mitzvah, he's excited and he runs over to show his father. And the intention, what we're saying here, is that because of that, we assume that not only is he intending to show it to his father, but his intent when he picks it up is for it, or on behalf of his father, which is not... I don't know, it's not necessarily a polio say. Right, that he's working on behalf of his father. The fact that we see that he's excited to take to his father afterwards is an indication that he's picking up on behalf of his father. You could easily see why that psychology wouldn't work. Many kids are excited to show things to their parents, but their intent is clear. Exactly, the intent is to keep it. So, but that's Shmuel's idea here, is that when the child picks it up, he's picking it up for on behalf of the father. The Bemra. So from this you can conclude that Sover Shmuel Katan is basically other nafshei midoraisa, that the Katan is unable to make a kinyan on behalf of himself min haTorah, and therefore he's making the kinyan on behalf of his father. Va'adanya socher tapoel yilaked beno acharav the mechto shlish levi al lo yilaked beno acharav. So a person who's working in a field, if he is a laborer in the field and he's harvesting the field and his leket falling behind him, then his child can follow behind him and pick up the leket. On the other hand, if it's Maxwell Shlish Ruviyah, he's an Aris, and he's working for a percentage of the property, then his child cannot follow after him. Lo Yilaked Beno Ubi Yishto Acharav, then his son and his wife should not follow after him, because he is, we'll call it an Ashir, but not an Ashir, but he's an owner of the property. Since he's an owner of the property, then he cannot take leket from his own property. But what are the indications here? From the Tanakh, at least the indications are that the Beno and Ishto, when they acquire it on behalf, they're acquiring it on his behalf. Because if they were independent ownership and independent people, then it wouldn't matter the fact that he was an owner of the field, because they are independently collecting the leket, and they themselves could be aniyim. On the other hand, if you believe they are picking up it on his behalf, then they're picking up is for him who owns the field, and that can't work. So that's what it sounds like from the Tanakh. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Benkach, Benkach, Yilaked, Benovi, Shtacharav, doesn't matter. Whether he's an Aris or a Poel, his child and his wife can follow after him. Valmar Shmuel, so this is where the bang for this comes out of this, is that Shmuel says, Alach to Rabbi Yossi. So he says, Alach to Rabbi Yossi. Now, E, Amar, Bishlam, Akhatan, Yilaked, Chiel, and Afshei. If you say Katan has independent ownership, ki kamalake, then afshei kamalake, then he's collecting on his own behalf. Bavua minei kazochi. And then his father only in the future is taking it from him. Katan doesn't have independent ability to take ownership. Ki kamalake, lavin kamalake, then automatically he is collecting on behalf of his father. So then how can Rabbi Yossi say that when Aris is working in the field that his son can collect after him? That means you are the owner of the field plus your son is collecting on your behalf. Leket. That doesn't make any sense. So you must believe, according to Rabbi Yossi, that you have independent, or the Katan has independent ownership, the ability to create independent ownership. Since he's collecting on his own behalf, you have two entities, you, who is doing work in the field, and your son, who's collecting the leket. Right now it's that Shmuel, the Shitato, is inconsistent. Shmuel is explaining our Mishnah as being that the Katan is being Zochem on behalf of the father, and yet in the Brisa that we bring by Leket, he's showing that Allah is a Kabiyotu, which means that it's not. So it's just an inconsistency in Shmuel rather than getting to the core halacha, right? Alright, now since we have this inconsistency in Shmuel, what do we do? So the Gemara says, Ki Malaket Abid Kamalaket Avu Ashirhu. So he says, Amai Yishto Beno Malaket Achrav. How could his children or his wife go after him? He's an Ashir, not because he's literally an Ashir, but because he owns the field in part, because he's getting a third, a quarter of half of the field, or the produce of the field. How could his child or his wife follow after him and collect after him according to Rabbi Yossi, or at least according to Shmuel, unless they have independent ownership? So my dad, Shmuel, time the Tana Zidon Kamar, Belelo Sphirli. Shmuel's explaining the author Bar Mishnah of what he thinks, but that's not what he holds. He's explaining the fact that this Mishnah is talking about the fact that a Katan does not have independent ownership, and that's why the Aveda belongs to the father. On the other hand, Shmuel says, me, myself, I believe that a Katan does have the ability to have independent Tchiyah. Since he has the ability to have independent Tchiyah, it might belong to the child. It might belong to the child anyway. The Tzavar of Yossi, Katan, he plays Tchiyah Midoraisa. So now leaving Shmuel and looking at Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi really believe that a Katan has independent ownership. In a Torah, he's able to be Zocheh. But not, Mitziat Chersho Tevet Katan, Yesh Behem Yishim Gezel, Mifnei Te'artei Shalom. That the Mitziah of a Chershot and Katan, they have a din in Gezel, someone comes to steal it from them because of Darkei Shalom. Not Min HaTorah, because they don't have Tchiyah Min HaTorah, only because of Darkei Shalom. We don't want people going and grabbing things from these type of, from these people, Chershot and Katan. Because the Omer, Gezel Gamur, it's really Gezel. So from now, if you were to stop here, it sounds like Biosi is consistent in his Shita, Gezel Gamur, sounds like Katan and it's Tchiyah, and that's why it's Gezel Gamur. But, Bamar of Chisr, Chisr qualifies with Biosi's statement, says Gezel Gamur, Midivrehem. With them, a Gezel Gamur, it's not Gezel Gamur Min HaTorah, it's rather Gezel Gamur Mid Rabbanan, Nafkamina. What's a Nafkamina then? If both of them are kind of Tchamin, one is Darkei Shalom, one is Gezel Gamur, what's a Nafkamina? It's Motziah B'Dayanim. If it's Midarkei Shalom, then you can't go to Beis Din and be Motziah. It's just, it's a, it's a kind of Tchamin to prevent people from doing, but not that you can extract it in court. But if you believe it's Gezel Gamur Mid Rabbanan, then you can go to court and extract it based on the Din Rabbanan. Either way, right, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion here that Gezel is only Mid Rabbanan. If he thinks that means that he thinks Tchiyat Katan is only a Din de Rabbanan. There's no Din d'oraisa that a Katan has independent Tchiyat. So now we have an inconsistency in Rabbi Yossi's Shita. By Leket, he says that they do have independent ownership. Here, by Mitziyat Chershot and Katan, he says they do not have independent ownership. This is an unbelievable statement. Here, Abai says what? Because there's a din by Leket and Peah that there's a certain point where we assume that the Aniyim have given up hope of, or have been mafkir, whatever is left there in the field. So the Aniyim come through it, they come through the field, and then the Nemushot come through the field. In the Nemushot, there's different interpretations. Rashi only, I think, brings one over here. One of them is that the Lukute bar Lukute, those that came after the collectors, the second ship that came through. So either the second ship that came through is either the the slower ones or the lazy ones, or maybe the older aniyim, which take more time to come and they go slower. The mushot, right? That they're bent over and they go slowly and they can see everything. Once they've cleared through the field, our assumption is that whatever's left there at that point, the balabites can keep, or anybody who wants to can have it, because it is hefker. The aniyim have given up hope. So now what the Gemara says over here is this incredible statement. They are suhu. This case where Poel is working and his child is an aniyim following after him. Right? We make it as if already the Nemushot have passed through it. We are mafkir it to this Ani or to his child. Why? That the Aniyim themselves, right, are Mesiach Das. What does it mean that they are Mesiach Das? That means that they don't think they're going to get anything out of this field because they know this guy is there and his child is following after him. So their assumption is this isn't the best field to collect it, and therefore they give up hope and they are mafkir. Sabre, great to hear, inoculated, think this guy's son is going to collect it. Now what you have is an amazing thing. Truthfully, the son is not entitled to collect it. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, now, we're going to say Rabbi Yossi the Shita So. Rabbi Yossi the Shita So says that Katan does not have independent Tchiyah. We see that by the case of Chershot, but Katan is only Gezel Gamur made the right hand. It's only the Rabbanah. So now what are you going to do with the case of Leket? The case of Leket, he says you're right. He has no Tchiyah. The Katan has no Tchiyah. Then, why do we let him keep it? Why do we let him go through it? Say, because what the Aniyim are going to think that this Katan, despite the fact that he has no right to pick this up, because when he picked it up, he's picking it up from his dad and his father, nevertheless, they think that he is going to follow his father and pick up over there, and therefore they give up hope on that field, and they don't take anything from that field. Because they don't take anything from that field, then we say, oh, it's Hefker, and his child can follow after him. But it's amazing because of the mistaken understanding or mistaken thought that the son can't follow the father because the son's in a need, right, or the family's in a need and is working for this field as an Aris, that they think could, maybe, because the child will come, they give up hope, and therefore we say take it. Right, it's an amazing, amazing.
Right, so it's not circular.
No, it's not circular, it's just amazing that we would be attacking something that reinforces a mistaken, right. That's exactly
the detriment of the Aniyim.
Right, in a sense, right, so they're mistaken. So that's what the Gemara's going to ask, wait a minute. So, guys, what is he going to do? He's going to set up okay, you want this to work. Well, because the guy set up a lion, you know, bring over, you rent the lion every year after harvest, takes it over there, he says, sure, come in, you guys can take your stuff. And he didn't even come. Say, yeah, it's good. Nobody came, it's half good out, I'll take it all. Right? Can you do that? Can you stick it over there to throw them out? No. Right? That doesn't make any sense. That's exactly what you're doing here. The guy is going to work in the field, he sets up his gun behind him, and all the name looks and say, oh, forget it, we can't come here. Is what he's doing permissible? No. That's the problem. So why are we reinforcing, again, a mistake? Why are we reinforcing that Karas HaChamim is basically allowing him to do something that is, number one, it's a detriment to the name, and number two, which is wrong, because he's not allowed to take his kokas. Elamar Rava is an amazing, again, statement. Asu She'enu Zepek Zilchet. Again, here, the takana of the Chachamim is that they made it, even though technically he can't be Zilchet, they empowered him to be Zilchet. So it says, my time, what's the reason? Anim Gufayu Nechaluhu. The Anim themselves want this takana. Why? Kechezichi Agu Lididhu. Nukos Benayu Batrayu. And there's, for the class as a whole, it's a benefit. For the class of Anim as a whole, it's a benefit. Why? Because every Ani will want it to be that when he is a poet, when he's working in a field, he'll want his child to come and collect after him. So they're willing to forfeit in other cases where the other poel's son is working behind it.
Union rights.
It is. It's somewhat like that. That is, right. That the Chamim looks at the class of Aniim rather than the individual Ani, right, in this instance. For the class of Aniim, they would like it to be, or they would be more beneficial for them, that if the rights of the son were, strengthened to the point where he could make a kinyan, right, over here, and be able to keep it independent of the father, they're willing to have that be the takana, in order that, as a class, each one of them, when they go to work, could have their son follow after them. Even though technically, right, they don't have to, I mean, that they wouldn't, that it's to their detriment, in this specific case, but the, we look at it as a more global case. It's very interesting, halachic principle. When do we look at every halacha, or do we look at the class as a general, do we look at the general situation? One of those, I just mentioned as an aside, because it was last week's parsha, Lifnei Iver lo titen michshol. When you look at Lifnei Iver lo titen michshol, you can look at it in a very detailed, practical manner, which is that any avera, or every specific issue, right, you have to look at it, are you causing someone to be michshol? Or do you look at Lifnei Iver lo titen michshol for the greater good, or the greater situation? Where does it come up? It comes up when you invite over people that are not the deep, people are not from, you invite them over for Shabbos to come to your meal. So generally, you know, people, Moshe, others are written, you have to invite them over, you have to tell them so they can sleep over, and talk from all these things. But that's nice by Shabbos. But it gets harder, for instance, the question was asked for Shlomo Zalman, but what happens if there's a big donor is coming to the yeshiva, and there's a din in Shulchan Aruch from the Mishnah Berurah that you're not allowed to have someone eat at your house unless they wash the yadayim. You have to tell them to wash the yadayim. So what are you going to do? You're going to go and tell this guy who is going to eat, you know, a meal at yeshiva, go, oh, you know, you didn't wash your dime, go wash your dime before you eat. He's going to feel offended by that. So they're afraid to say something to him. Do you have to say something to him, or can you let it go? So that's the Rishon Zalman is Mechadish over there, that by the same very little system, it's always look at the greater picture. Here's a guy who's supporting Torah, has a kesher to, Yadut, and a kesher to Bnei Torah. If you go and offend him, he's going to walk away from the whole thing. It's better to have that kesher than to offend him over a specific, you know, little prat in the mitzvot. So Rosh Hashanah is mechadish, we look at the greater good when it comes to the Tnei Yiveh Lo Titeh Mechshol. The amazing chiddush has a lot of implications, again, halacha. But of course, it's the same thing in this situation over here. When you look at the ani, do you look at this specific situation where it's wrong? For the son to collect behind the ani, it's wrong. But maybe for the class of aniim, I mean, that they will prefer the situation to be this way, so it's better to look at it for the greater good of the Aniyim rather than to look in this specific case where there's a wrong being done. Then it becomes circular, then it does. Once they're coming where it's using the Takana, then maybe they really are, they give up hope, and it really is after now, like Tzvi was saying. I mean, the first time it doesn't, but once they come instituted the Takana, then the Aniyim know, then they are up here, or the Messiah that's them. Alright. So I said, "Upligay the Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba." This argues on the position of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, lo gadol gadol mamash, lo katan katan mamash. Our Mishnah is not that made a real gadol, real katan, as opposed to Shmuel, right? To explain the Mishnah as being a real katan, here a minor, right? Ella gadol b'samuch l'shulchan aviv, deo katan. That has to do not with your age, but rather your status. Your status is whether you are dependent, economically dependent on your parents. Right, then you are classified as a katan. Katan, me'enu tamech ha'shulchan aviv, zeu gadol. If you're a katan, and you're not still Kohanim Shomayim, you're an independent ownership, Zehu Gadol, you're a Gadol. And it seems to be the issue here is Mishumeiva. That's what Rashi says, Mishumeiva. Right, that when a father who is supporting, economically supporting the child, and then the child goes and finds a mitziah, the father says, yeah, sure, you know, while the father says, no, I'm economically supporting you, you put in some, you know, you contribute to this, so if you find a mitziah, it should belong to me. But the child is economically independent, and imagine the katan or gadol, the father says, really doesn't have any vibe that their child is accumulating independent wealth or finds a mitziah. So therefore, that would be the difference between Somecha Shulchan and Esomech Shulchan is an Indian of Eva, not an Indian of Tchia, what has to do with real Katana minor or Gadol over the age of Bar Mitzvah, has independent ownership. Right now, Mitziyat of Dov Shukatoi Vrim Ayul Shalatzman. The Mishnah is problematic based on what we learned right 2 days ago, which is that in the Mishnah it says that a Mitziyah of an Eved Ivri belongs to himself. We just said 2 days ago, what's the difference between a, why does a Poel not violate the issue of Abadai below Abadim Labadim versus Neved Ivri who might be in violation of that? It's because by a Poel, he can have independent ownership, he can have things belong to him, and he can walk away from it. Neved Ivri can't walk away, and everything he gets belongs to his Baal. And we said that he should be no worse than a Poel, and we said a Poel who's hired to be a day worker for anything that's needed by the Baal Bais, he collects it. So why should Neved Ivri be able to keep his mitzvah over here? So that's what it says, might we have a Poel? Why should an Ivri not just be like a day laborer? But Tanya, Mitziyat Poel, that's small. Come to Poel, the Mitziyat belongs to himself, amid, remembering Mitzmai Shamalo, Nicheshime, Hayom, Aduri Me Hayom. You know, weed with me today, hoe, spade, turn over the dirt with me today. He hires a specific labor, then the Poel has independent ownership when it comes to anything else. He picks up the Mitziyat, belongs to him. Assuming that it didn't take up any time from the work that he's doing, if it took up time, he has to compensate the Baal for the time missed. If he takes him for the totality of any work that I need today, because that's included in the work that he would have assumed. So why does an Eved Ivri like that also? Talking about a very special Eved Ivri here. He is a diamond cutter. So since he's a diamond cutter, the value of his work, his labor, is so much higher than any mitzvah that he would find, that the Baal Bais never wants him to pick up a mitzvah. He wants him to work. That, based on that, if he picks up a mitzvah, it belongs to himself. Wait a minute, but if the Baal Bais never wants to pick up a mitzvah, that's because his labor is worth more, he wants him to work. When he picks up the mitzvah, he's not doing his work. So, true, he's going to have to compensate the Baal Bais for that time that he's away from being Nokev Magliot. Shein Rabo Yotzeh Lishnoto Milachko Acheret, he doesn't want to do anything else. Rabo Marbe Magbiya Mitzvah Im Lachto Askinat. Rabo says, no, the case where picking up the mitzvah does not interfere with his work. Since it doesn't interfere with his work, the Baal Bais has no claim here. He has no claim against the fact that, hey, listen, you did some work. No, he was working. He did whatever the Baal Bais was asking. In the meantime, he picks up the mitzvah, that's for himself. Or Rabo Amar Kigoshes Charo Lelakit Mitzvot. That he hired him to collect mitzvot. That's the case over here. Now, this is explaining, Rashi, both Tosfos and Rashi say, this is not explaining the Mishnah, but rather explaining the Braisa. The Braisa says that all the mitzvot that belong to the Baal Bais is in a case when he took him up to do all these labors, including picking up mitzvot. That would be his job. What's the case? I mean, how do you have mitzvot? I mean, why do you hire someone to go up and pick out mitzvot? I mean, that means that you have to have some have a mean that there's something there to pick up. Why do you hire somebody to go look around the streets? That doesn't make so much sense. Mar says, the Akpia Gamo Bekavret, that the river overflowed its banks, and a bunch of fish, when it receded, all these fish were left over on the side. So all these fish that were left over on the side, those are the Mitzios, so he hires them to pick up the Mitzios. Just interesting that the Gemara calls that Mitziah. Mitziah was generally believed something that was owned by someone else, right? And they lost it, they gave us ownership. Over here, these were always empty. I mean, they always were in the river. It just got dumped to the side. Nobody really has ownership over there. All of a sudden, we're calling this a mitzvah to go pick it up. Be that as it may, that's the solution here. The solution would be to explain the braisa as being where he specifically enumerates as part of his job description picking up mitzvot. And that's why the Baal Bais gets it. But otherwise, he wouldn't get it. And that's the same thing by Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri, who's like a Poel or Poel Plus, also could keep his own mitzvot, because that's the way he would explain the braisa here, being that unless you specify, you don't get it. Right now, Gemara says that a shivcha also. Now, I shivcha, this really is a shivcha ivriya, although it's funny that the term used here is shivcha, right, because in general, ama ivriya is what Jesus has mentioned that. Here they call it shivcha. Hey, chidame, what's the case? Ida isi shtei sarol maibai gabe. If she's already of age, meaning that she's reached the age of puberty, she has two sarol, she goes free. That's one of the things that says in ama ivriya free. Vitala isi shtei sarol, ii tila avdavua havyo. If she does not have shtei sarol yet, then it belongs to her father. because she's still a Tana, and when everything she takes, call anything that a Tana does, call Shevach, right? New Raj, Lebeit Avia, so to over here. Any Shevach of the Tana belongs to her father. See, you later laugh, Tipa Femita Tav. Right? And if there is no Av, right, then she goes free when her father dies. So, Damar is Lakish, Amar is Yah, Tana Atma, Mita Tav, Mishuta Domikav, Homer. Right, that Ishloka says that Amri drives Kone herself to go free with her father's death, Mishut Kavakomer from the Adon. Why? Because Ma, the Av who has more rights in the daughter, right, and they have an Adon who has less rights in the daughter, when the Adon dies, she goes free. She's not passed down to his children, because we say these now called Temotam. The only people that are passed to Yerusha to their children are Knani, Evi Knani, Shifka Knani. But Amma Yivriyah does not pass down to the children. So not pass to the children. When they don't die, she goes free. Then certainly with the father, who has more rights than his daughter, certainly when he dies, she should go free. That was Rish Lakish's position. So now basically we've come to a roadblock here. How do you explain the case in the Mishnah that an Amma Yivriyah, right, should be able to keep the Mitziah for herself? There's just no case like that. If she is already hit through Sarot, she's not an Amma Yivriyah anymore. She's free. If she does not have to stay sarot, right, then it belongs to her father because her father still has ownership in her as a Tana. Right? If she has no father, then she's free again. Yeah. If she's free, then she's independent ownership. She's not an Amaria. Right, so what's going on here? So Gemara says, V'lav itotav Reish Lakish. Well, first of all, didn't we have a problem with Reish Lakish's position? So what is, you can't maybe explain it that way. Gemara says, the name of Mehai Nami has the Abis Yukta. All right, you're right. So Reish Lakish got rid of. Maybe we should have used this also a question. This proves that Reish Lakish is wrong. But otherwise, there's no case. So my slow, the old love the Itei Le'av. Our case here is where the father is still around. My Harihen Shalahen, Henrihen Shalahen, Napuke the Rabbo. I mean, that the case here that says Harihen Shalahen means that it's hers. Doesn't mean literally hers, but it means hers and her father's as opposed to the Adon's. And that you don't, what we're saying here is not that it goes to the Adon, but goes to her or her father. So that's what it means, Shalahan. Shalahan means, right, not just her, but anybody besides the Adon. And it's as contrasting to the ratio of the Mishnah. Alright, now, next case, Mishnah, Mitziyat Ishto. His wife. Why is Mitziyat Ishto belong to him? Rashi says, the Mishnah, Mishul, Eva. Right, which we're going to see here in a second. Girsha, Shita. If he divorces her, even though he didn't give her a kubit, the Mishnah says that the wife keeps it. That says, Shita. Hey, what's the fourth? What thought would you have? If she's divorced, she has independent ownership, she should keep it. Says, how come I seen him in Mugresh? It's a fake whether she was Mugresh. Like, he threw the getter, it's a fake if it landed, you know, within Da'anam with him, within Da'anam with her. So it's a fake Girishin over here. So now, by fake Girishin, I'm going to be there, my Shmo, Koma, Kom, Shemo, Kome, Mugresh, Vane, Mugresh, Balah, Kayab, Mizonotel. Right, any case where there's a suffix Girishin, the Kabzal is Kayab, to give her Mizonot. She's still on the payroll. Meaning that she's getting fed by the husband, even though there's a suffix Girishin over here. So what would you think? You would think that she should also keep the mitzvah, the husband should get the mitzvah, because he's feeding her, he's giving her economic support. So I said, time of my am a rabbana mitzvah to shalom bala. Why is the mitzvah venisha to her husband? Right? He's supporting her, he's taking care of his wife. All of a sudden she's taking and keeping things for herself. That wouldn't be so nice. So halakha, over here in our case, idla eva ve'eva. Not in other places in the Gemara says, let her have eva, let us have eva towards her, because we want him to divorce her. I mean, it brings by Kohen. Like, where he's married to an inappropriate person, then we say, let them have eva, because we want him to divorce. That kind of situation here, the situation is that, here, the eva already exists. Why does it already exist? Because he tried to divorce her, and now he still has to support her, right? He still has to economically support her, so there's Ava already, why not just, you know, pile it on in a sense? I mean, there's no value in protecting him from more Ava if the Ava's already there, there's already some sort of discord that's going on, and you're not going to help by giving him back to the Messiah. That's not going to help the situation, they keep the Messiah. Alright, new Mishnah, Matzah, Shtari Kov, right? You find Shtari Kov out on the street, Team Yesh Ben, Akhrayu Nechazim, Lo Yachzir. If it has achriut nechazim in it, if it has shibud on the karka, right, or liens on the karka, don't give it back to Beis Din Yifrayim, because Beis Din will take that property. Even achriut nechazim, if it does not have achriut nechazim, yachzir, same Beis Din Yifrayim, and divrei Rabbi Meir, since Beis Din won't take it from Meshubadim, don't return it. Rachamim amim, Beis Din Yifrayim, lo yachzir, v'nei Beis Din Yifrayim. Either way, don't return them, because Beis Din will collect based on the contract. But my askinan, What's the case here in this Mishnah? Ilayim of Shayat Modeh, where the debtor agrees that there was a loan out there, he yesh ben achriyot nusim, my no achzir. If there is achriyot nusim in the contract, why not return it? He agrees. I'm Modeh. He says there was a loan here, why not return it? V'yesh ain't chayat Modeh. If the debtor does not agree, he ain't ba'an achriyot nusim, my achzir. Even if there's no achriyot nusim, why return it? He's a lo gabi mishabdeh, even though he can't collect from encumbered property, v'b'nei chari mishabdeh, right? You can always take from the Bnei Chorin. So now you can inappropriately come and collect the money. If the Loveh says that I never borrowed this money, then why would you give it to him? Mar says, Olam Shechayab Modeh. It's a case where the debtor agrees that he owes the money. The problem is that we said that he intended to borrow the money in Nisan, but he didn't actually borrow the money until Tishrei. But when they wrote the loan document, they wrote it in Nisan, it's dated in Nisan. So what's the problem with that? Then you're going to end up, what? Taking it away from them? Shlokidin. What's the problem here? The problem is that the shtar is really predated to the actual loan. Because he intended to borrow it at an earlier time.
And then predated any shtar.
So you have the... That's Mark, that question, 1 second. So he has, since it's predated from the actual loan, the truth is, when should the right... To take from the Lukukot, the creditor has the right to go take it from the Lukukot, from the time that the law is initiated, not from the time that the document is written. So you have a predated shtar. Just yes. Wait a minute. Why is this just a suspicion in our case? Just any shtar you have, why don't we suspect? Maybe he wrote it earlier. And then he decided later he can take the loan. He didn't actually take the loan at the time it was dated. So Mark says, we should worry about this. He says, Kol shtar e lo reis, hani reis. All of the shtarot don't have another difficulty with them, detrimental side to them, because they don't have any issue that came up. Over here, honey, Ray, this star has something that came up, which is already was lost. So it was already out there. So, you know, when a person wants to watch something, when they're careful about it, they really lent money, they'd be careful about the star, they'd hold on to it. If the star is, you know, it's questionable whether they lent out, there's something wrong with the star, they won't be as careful, and that's why it was lost. So assumption that it was lost, that also means there's something else wrong with it. So we're going to start to suspect the fact that maybe it's a predated shtar, versus in a regular case where we won't assume that it was a predated shtar. Now, Tosfos points.
Hold on, but they're saying if there's no shiva nechassim, then you can give it back.
He's moseh.
Right.
Because he's
moseh.
It's moseh. It's better he's moseh that he owes money. So that's fine. In that case, that's not a problem.
But he's moseh even when there is shiva nechassim.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but then the problem is that it's okay, he's moseh, we agree, we give it back to him. Right now the problem is that the shtar is predated. So shtar, if he doesn't have Bnei Chorin, we're going to go and take from the kuchot that bought between Nisan and Tishrei, even though they're not entitled to collect from that. The creditor is not entitled to collect from those people.
I mean, for another 6 months.
Right. Until Tishrei, only people bought after Tishrei.
And by then he may pay back the loan.
Not pay back the loan. He hasn't bought, no. The money's borrowed. Money's borrowed, but the question is, when was it borrowed? He sold his property out from afterwards. And between Nisan and Tishrei, he sells all his property. Mm-hmm. Then he borrows money in Tishrei. Then it comes back, the creditor, we find this document and give it to the creditor. The creditor goes and says, you know what? I need to get my loan back. It's dated Nisan. You guys all bought your property after Nisan. I can take from all your property. That's not right, because he really only lent the money in Tishrei. So the predated shtar is giving him extra rights that he's not entitled to. For instance, why don't we worry about that with every loan? No, we can't say that, because every general document, we assume a shtar is good. Over here, because there's another boom and gum in the shtar, we say already, okay, let's look into the shtar more carefully. Let's question the validity of this shtar. So Mark says, that you're allowed to write a shtar for the loveh, for the borrower, even though the malveh, even though the creditor is not there. How can the chatzilah we allow this to happen? If the malveh is not there, maybe the loveh had the document written, but he didn't really borrow it until Tishrei. So unless you assume that the malveh is there, that the transaction is really happening, we can never guarantee that the transaction is not happening. How can we allow a system which allows the loveh, the borrower, to go to the sofer and say, write me a loan document, without the malveh being clear, without the transaction being clear in front of us? So I said, but after the mitzvah of the kuchot shalot din, and I will cause them to take it from the kuchot shalot din. Again, Tosfos, I might have pointed that earlier, that Tosfos says, lovat tishrei means, he wants to get the shtar back so he can use the shtar. Not that he already borrowed and now we're going to go back and say, wait, it was a predated shtar. Rather, we're worried about giving it back because now he's going to borrow the money based on the shtar. Because he doesn't have to pay to have another shtar written. He's going to use this shtar to borrow money in the future.
It doesn't fit into the root. The
yeah, I know, it does not. It doesn't fit into the root.
Ray, it has nothing to do with the
ray. No, the ray is that it fell, yeah, and he wants to, why does he want the shtar back? He wants the shtar back, even though he doesn't know it, he wants it back so he can borrow with the shtar, save himself the money of writing the shtar over. Again, I don't think, it's not the simplest way to read the Gemara, just pointing out, of course, it doesn't because of other reasons. There are other issues that come out if you don't do it that way. All right, now, Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi b'shtarei hakna ha'ashem b'nafshei. And the case here is basically it's a credit line. It's a credit line. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about shtarei hakna. So that the shibud starts from the moment the document is written. The borrowing can happen at any time. And that's the shtarei hakna. You have two types of documents that you can lend with. You can lend with a document that says, I'm lending you the money now. Or you can open up a credit line, basically. That's what the shtarei hakna does. It opens up a credit line and says, you are meshuba to me from today, and you can borrow at any point from today forward. The kuko there, they have to worry about it. No, because the shtarei hakna entitles the creditor from the moment it's written.
So
now we'll have a difference. Right, the diaki matnita nitzanim yesh ben afrayut nechatzim lo yachzir. Right, then our mission says if it has afrayut nechatzim, we don't give it back. But again, now we explain that kishchayim mode when the debtor agrees that's the case. Umishum shema katzok levok kisam lo vatishrei. We said the suspicion here is that maybe the shtar is predated. Vatil mitrev kuko to odin. Amai lo yachzir. Next day b'shtar no. Let's look at that. What shtar it is. What type of shtar? If it's a credit line where he's maknei it already from that moment, give it back to him. If it's not a shtar, no, like the meichash. And if it's not a shtar, no, we don't have to worry about it. Our mark. Kilekem malve b'adei lo katzinan. Because in that case, we say that what when there's no malve, we don't write the shtar. So now, again, what we stated once we saw the problem, Mark says, listen, you worried about this issue of predated shtarot. Say, no, that's only when we worry about it when there's a raid, there's something wrong with the shtar. That's Mark says, you really think that's the truth? We say now that you can have the lofed, the debtor go, and have a shtar written, even though the malveh is not there, even though we don't know if the transaction really went through. And you say you can do that to chatchila. How could that be? So Mark says, no, that's no problem. We can worry about, we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because there's such shtarot called shtarei hakna. Shtarei hakna are shtarot that have credit lines where you already encumber yourself before the money is given to you. So in that case, you can have the loven go to the sofer and write it without the malveh presence. We don't care when the loan is given in that instance. But the implications are, when we do care when the loan is given, then you cannot go to the, right, malveh, and we can't go to the sofer and write it. So if that's the case, then why do we ever worry about shtarot that have achrayut in them? Number one is, if it's a shtar hakna, it's a credit line, there's no problem, because it wouldn't be, it's whatever the date is, that's fine. If it's not a shtar hakna,
it has to be the same thing.
Right, now then, the malveh has to be present, the transaction has to take place, so fair won't write it. Right, so we won't have that problem of predated shtarot. So why not give it back to him? So my dad, alright, because in the Dalai Lama, if you like a malveh about a day, look at Vina. I'm a lay rabati, I've got the shtari lav akna. If you like a malveh about a day, look at Vina. Right, even though, you're right, in general, the sofer is not allowed to write it when the malveh is not present. But DJ came into the now called itrile, right, since it fell now, we suspect that there's a problem. But Kaishinin Dilma ikre the kotuf. And we're worried that maybe it happened and he did write it. Meaning that once there's a dam or some sort of problem with the shtar because it fell, then we already start to question maybe the sofer did it at least improperly, and he actually wrote a shtar even though the malveh wasn't there, even though he only is allowed to do that when it's a shtar, not when it's a credit line and encumbers him immediately. Nevertheless, we start to worry. Once there's already some questions about the shtar, we start to worry about all possibilities of problems. And one possibility is that the sofer wrote the shtar despite the malveh not being there, and then we do have a problem possibility of a predated shtar. All right, well, we'll stop there.